This is DFS. This is our 2012 budget presentation. I'm Patricia Carey, Commissioner of Social Services, and this is Tom Thurden, Director of Administrative Services at the Department. We will start with our first slide. This is the recommended budget. As you can see, our mandates, we have increases in our mandate costs. We have an increase in revenues, and the change is pretty much standing at about a 6% change across the board for expenditures, revenues, and the local costs. In our non-mandated, we have a little more volatility there, where we have expenditures and revenues are going down, and ranging from the net local cost of minus 0.2% to the revenues going down by 5.9%. So this is our total budget. Total budget is $46,146,425. That is a $962,769 change. That's a 2.1 increase in our budget. And a 4.7 increase in the net local cost. Our full-time equivalent, we are down by a half a staff. Or, I'm sorry, one staff. How can I be down a half a staff? We're down by one staff person. But you can see since 2009, we have had significant changes in our staffing. And anyone who's participated in the Health and Human Services Committee meetings know that we have had incredible increases in our food stamp cases and our Medicaid cases, and we have had no increases in staff in those two areas. We are really struggling to meet our mandates, and we could use more staff. We need more staff. This is not a good position to be in, either for our food stamps, Medicaid temporary assistance, nor our child welfare. But this is what we can live with. So our over-target requests that are supported under the property tax cap and that are approved by the county administrator are our COPS programs. As you recall, those are programs that are child welfare contracts. The 50% of our training budget, replacement computer equipment, workstation reconfiguration, automobile replacement. And I just wanted to point out, when we're talking about revenue and it says no local cost, there is included in that revenue line is the rollover that we're using. So it technically is some local cost. So I'm going to go through and describe the over-target request supported under the property tax cap. The COPS programs are child welfare contracts. We are mandated to provide preventive services in the community to assist families, to keep families from entering into the child welfare system, into the child foster care system, and we have chosen these contracts to help us do that. So the COPS programs is a special funding stream from Office of Children and Family Services, and the programs that we fund are the TC Action Primary School Family Supports that works with families in the schools, connecting with schools, and assisting schools in navigating the CSE project, the educational system that our families struggle with sometimes. The Daycare and Child Development Council has family support services that provide intensive services to families who need assistance with navigating the whole developmental world that their children are experiencing, and helping families navigate the service systems that are out there. They provide hands-on support that we're not able to provide to these families. The Cornell Cooperative Extension Parenting Skills Program, that is a program that provides parenting skills education. It also is a program that we send parents who have entered into the child welfare system, and what we've determined is one thing they need support with is developing parenting skills, and that program has been running for a very, very long time. And the Advocacy Center Preventive Youth Services is a youth education program in the community, working with youth, talking about sexual assault, preventing sexual assault, dealing with sexual assault, and doing outreach into the schools. OTR 73 is, this is our training budget. I will just sort of step back a little bit. Before we even started going through our OTRs, Tom and I sat down and went through all of our administrative costs and made cuts that you're not even seeing here to almost every area that we have. We cut a couple thousand dollars here, a couple thousand dollars there, really trimming things back, and you're not seeing any of that. This was one that we really decided to put in an over-target request because we really do need this training. We have very skilled, detailed work that we do, and it's a constant challenge to keep our staff trained at the level they need to be trained at in order to do the services that they do, and a 50% cut in our training budget is pretty significant. This is OTR 74. This supports our scheduled replacement of computers. Every staff person at the Department of Social Services has a computer. We live and breathe by our state computer systems, and we have to have a replacement schedule for our computers. This is our reconfiguration. Given the increases in applications and the increases in people who are coming to the department, we are constantly moving staff around, reconfiguring our workspaces in order to maximize the communication between different divisions and different units, and we need to be able to do that at any given time during the year. OTR 76, we have a vehicle replacement schedule in order to support the county's desire to have departments purchase hybrid automobiles. We put into our budget an OTR that would allow us to upgrade those our cars that aren't hybrid when we make a new purchase. The over-target requests that are above the property tax cap that Joe is not recommending funding is one-third of net local costs of the COPS programs and the Red Cross Outreach Prevention and Friendship Center. OTR 120, one-third of the COPS programs. This is basically Joe saying that he's not supporting this. This is a really hard one to swallow because these programs have not had any increase in funding, and some of them have actually had to have their funding decreased. They still provide exceptional service. They're programs that we count on, and we are seeing more children who are at risk in the community, and we really need to be doing preventative services, and preventive outreach. OTR 121, this is the Red Cross Homeless Outreach Prevention Friendship Center. We believe that this is one of the most important elements to our continuum of care to prevent homelessness and to rehouse people. The Friendship Center acts as an outreach and a place where people can go to call landlords, where they can go to get a meal during the day if they're homeless and on the streets or living in the shelter. They have staff who are able to help people navigate landlords and obtain new housing. Losing our funding will probably result in their needing to have fewer hours where they're open. They have little or no state or federal funding coming in for this program. Thank you.
Martha?
Thank you, Patricia.
Peter?
Okay. Thank you, Patricia and Tom. Our OTR page, it shows on the Red Cross one. It says FFFS is a source of, looks like it's source of about $62,000.
I'm sorry.
And then program expense of $104,000. Does that mean you're able to? It's page 387 in section 3.
Yes. We're able to draw down state funds to offset that contract.
I see. So the net to us is 41,526.
Right.
Do you have any idea what their total budget is for the Friendship Center?
I don't, but I can get you that information.
Okay. And similarly, on the previous on the COPS OTR 120. So the drawdowns reduce the total cost down to 2/3 of that cost. So it's 64 is the net local then.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, it would be interesting to see the history of your staffing over the last 4 or 5 years and your total client load, if you could put that on a piece of paper or on a graph. And then could you talk about the teen pregnancy and parenting program? That's not in here at all, right?
It's not a contract that we have. It's a program that is at the Child Development Council, and it is currently funded by Medicaid. And about 3 weeks ago, they were informed, and we were informed, that Medicaid will no longer pay for that service. By state regulation, the Department of Social Services must have a case management program to provide services to pregnant and parenting teens. So once the funding for their program is Medicaid doesn't pay for the whole program, but Medicaid is a significant portion of their budget, we will need to have conversations. We are in conversations with them about what the next steps will be. Our department's not prepared. We don't have the expertise that the Child Development Council has. That program's been running for over 30 years. It has demonstrated success, and we're very concerned about the way the state has handled the situation.
So I think you remember reading that you were going to appeal that decision?
Well, several advocacy groups and commissioners have voiced concern with the state, and I don't believe there will be a turnaround of that decision. I'm not confident.
So that was a mandate. It is a mandate that was supported by Medicaid. And Medicaid has just decided to remove the funding but maintain the mandate.
You heard it.
Yes.
No new unfunded mandates, though, right? You heard that. Okay. Thank you.
Peter.
Would you mind going back to the first slide that you showed?
Oh. Yes.
Well, not that one, the next one. Yeah. I was just looking at that and trying to understand how you generate the expenditure is $29,713,576. This must have a huge amount of projection in it about number of cases, right? There must be a big inherent error in that number, or uncertainty in that number. Is that correct?
Yes.
Please. Go ahead, Tom.
What?
Yes. Of that approximately $30 million figure, there are some figures are extremely predictable. The largest single one being the county's contributions toward the cost of Medicaid. You may remember the concept of the Medicaid cap. Starting a few years ago, the payments that the county has to make each week toward the cost of Medicaid are fixed and calculated by a formula in advance. So I believe that figure is something in the neighborhood of $12 million of that $29 million. That's very fixed. For our programs that are providing benefits to clients, either cash benefits or purchasing services for clients, there is more in the way of assumptions and projections. In estimating what our expenditures would be next year, we did not project caseload increases. The only increased costs that we built in had to do with in the area of public assistance, where New York State, when they passed this year's budget, they included language that will require an increase in the basic assistance allowance to be implemented next year. So that is built in, but other than that, no part of the year-to-year increase has to do with projected caseload increases.
Okay, so what I was trying to understand is where does that $1.7 million of mandated increase come from? And so what you're telling me is that it comes because we've been mandated to pay more for that service and we're given less support for it. Is it just that simple?
Well, we have a kind of a broad mix of programs. It would be hard to say in a way that anybody's going to understand or remember, but it would be easy to provide you with a breakdown. We could do that within a couple of days' time.
Well, I'm not sure I need the breakdown, but what I just wanted to know is the general overall picture. Is that statement that I made, say, 90% correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right, well, that clears up a lot. Wait, I had another question, but I've forgotten.
Yeah, I would appreciate it if you use your mic. All right.
I will try to use my mic next time when I think of the second question.
You may not get called on. Carol.
Yeah, I'd like to understand a little bit more about the distinction between what's being as part of the recommended, you know, within the 2%, the cap, part of the COPS programs, and what is left out.
We haven't made that decision yet.
Okay. I mean, it seems like it would be important for us to know when you know which are the parts that would be left out, so that we can reflect on whether that's okay to leave them out. So, will you have a list for us, or
we're working with agencies to come to some to get some idea of where those cuts will be made. but we have not yet finalized that decision.
Are there any that you're thinking about not funding?
No.
Entirely?
No.
So it's a question of... Okay.
Yeah, it's a question of how to smooth that out among the agencies.
Okay. And can I ask one more follow-up, which I think may be of Kevin? In our... Because you probably don't see our summary sheets. In our summary sheets, some of the other places in which some of the of a request is recommended under the cap and some is, you know, in the 5.4% budget or not recommended at all, they're all on one line, and there's a color system, the crosshatches, or you know, a color system that indicates that it's partial funding. This has been put on two lines.
And
is there something
that's
entirely different?
That's why the OTRs came that way. The OTRs came as one and then two, specifically because we had asked departments to give us their priority one as the difference between the 11.2% cut and the 7.8% cut. So that amount is exactly that difference.
Okay.
And then OTR 2 goes above that 7.8% cut.
That answers my question. Thanks.
Frank Frodo and Mike Lane.
Sorry, Tom.
It's okay.
Just an observation on this recommended budget chart. Peter, in addition to the expenditures going up, creating that 1.8 million change, the revenues are going up about 750,000, but not sufficient to cover, obviously, the increase in expenditures.
I did notice that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's... anyway, the question I had is with regard to OTR 76. The one that about purchasing the two vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like because of the color coding system, it's being recommended that that be funded with one time or rollover money.
Right.
Could I make a suggestion? And maybe this is a Dave Squires, Paula Younger question. Well, you're the deputy county administrator, right? You're in charge this week. Unfortunately, the CHA is closing. There are a number of vehicles associated with the CHA that are at the health department. Now, I realize in your heart you'd like a hybrid vehicle, but perhaps there might be a vehicle or two within the county that you might be able to get by with for another year or so that might be a little more, maybe you won't have to spend 27 grand. You can shepherd that money and use it on something else. If we can work out a scheme where we can swap, provide a vehicle for them or two.
Well, I think we could have a conversation with Joe about that.
And it might be true of other departments too.
I actually have had that conversation, Frank.
You didn't clue me
Joe.
In.
No, I didn't. But anything else? No, I'm not going to talk about it now.
Oh, going to be like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
You have another question?
No, I'm afraid to ask it. No, go ahead. I'm done. Thank you.
Mike Lane.
Patricia, you've got about $366,000 in rollover. And I know from past years that the rollover that's usually generated in your department doesn't always come from failure to fill positions or things like that. It has to do with the funding stream that you have. Is there some planning that you have for that, or is that money that we could look at possibly for funding one-time things or even to apply toward the tax levy?
Well, I believe that you can see that Joe used some of our rollover to – let me show you what's that. You'll see in this slide where he is using our rollover to support four of these over-target requests, and the rest of it is back to the county. We're not using it. And I presume that Joe is using that in his budget calculations.
Well, the budget doesn't presume using much of the fund balance, and the rollover that was more or less not granted is part of the fund balance.
I'm looking at section 2, page 5 of our book, and it says remaining balance, yeah. $366,655.
Yeah, one of the difficulties you have with their rollover is because they do have the largest payroll, but payroll is not part of rollover. And it's a lot of it has to do with mismatching of claims to revenue streams, and it fluctuates wildly from one year to the next. I think we have a unfortunately, I think that we've had two good years, and so I wouldn't bet on the pattern swinging back the other way, that we may see a shifting where of disproportionate of expenditures to revenues versus the other way around. So that's one of the reasons why we don't rely on their...
But this money has not, at this point, been allocated anywhere. Is that right?
It's just allocated as rollover, but...
Just that. It's $32,000 only.
I have your money. But
on that, I think that usually big chunks of your rollover does go back to the general fund.
Every year.
I mean, because it's
the
hard.
The majority of it goes back.
I mean, it's kind of maddening the amount that fluctuates. And so you wouldn't like it if they had $1 million in rollover.
But I think I'm still right. Yes, you're using $32,000, and I see that on this sheet. But that still shows a remaining balance of $366,000.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Mike, I can... I will promise you that we will have a specific rollover discussion when the county administrator returns to the premises.
Thank you.
He and I have, we have talked about that many times, and he clearly understands that's something that you're not the only one who wants to hear. Peter Stein.
I was troubled when I saw that thing about the homeless, the Red Cross facility that may close. And perhaps I'm mistaken. I have always thought of the Red Cross as being genuinely, traditionally, a very stable and well-financed operation. Is that no longer true? Are they suffering the same strains that the less established not-for-profits are suffering?
I would say that in terms of our local Red Cross, they're one of the few Red Crosses in the country that actually provides homeless services. And so this is not really connected to their traditional mandate of what they usually do. So these services are... sort of outside of the norm, and our local Red Cross has decided years ago to take this responsibility on and run the homeless shelter and run preventive service programs. So I can't speak to the rest of the Red Cross budget and what is going on with them. This is really a very specific small part of their entire operation.
And this OTR was not funded under the 5.4, is that right?
Right.
And was it, what priority did you give it?
I believe it's 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
I had Martha and then Pam.
Two questions. One is about this OTR, about the Friendship Center, especially in light of all the conversation about the jungle. This is. Oh my God! I mean, this is.
Yes, this is. It's very serious.
Because, literally, I mean, the last homeless and housing task. I guess yesterday was a task force meeting. I missed it, but the meeting before that of the homeless and housing task force room was just jammed full of people concerned about the mayor's proposal to close down the jungle and tell people they have to go somewhere, and sort of the place to go, the place of last resort is the Friendship Center. Yes, there's a question in here.
Can we get to it?
The community depends very much on the Friendship Center. We depend on them so that we don't have more expensive issues. My question is, I'm also concerned that the lack of funding of $64,000 of the COPS program is dire. Is if you could pick one over the other, I know you had the COPS is priority two, and I mean, do you really see them as two is more important than three, or
I can't, you know. I can't say that one thing in my budget. I can't say one thing is more important than the other. We have people that we need to serve in the community. Our child welfare services and programs are extremely important to the community. Our homeless services are very important to the community. It would be hard for me to say this is more important than another program, because they're serving two different populations. If we don't have the Friendship Center, we will have people who won't have place to get a hot meal, to get a shower, to try to negotiate with their landlord so they don't get evicted. Those are things that are happening every day. They serve hundreds of people a year. They are very high-risk adults with mental health issues, with substance abuse issues. They serve families. Our child welfare programs are work very well to try to keep families out of the child welfare system. Our goal is to have a community network of programs that families can turn to so that they don't have to turn to DSS and have a hotline call. That's the last thing in the world we want, and that's why we have those services. It's for families and children. So I can't say families and children are more important than at-risk adults who could be harmed on the street because they don't have a place to go. I won't be able to do that.
Okay, let me try another way. So the COPS program represents, Joe was able to fund two-thirds of these programs under the cap, right?
Right.
And this is the final third.
Right.
Perhaps you and the agencies that are involved here could talk about this and come back to us and help us understand which of these might be able to, I don't know, increase fundraising or find other grants where some of that might be backfilled better than the Friendship Center. If you could chew through this, because I'm thinking that you probably submitted this budget before the mayor decided the jungle is going to close.
Right.
And I know she's pulled back from that recently, but it's still a problem. So,
but I would say that even before going into this budget, we've spent a lot of time with these agencies talking about restructuring, talking about maximizing their funding streams, looking at their ability to get money from other sources, their ability to change the way their cases are handled. We did that last year when we looked at the funding possibly going away. We're at the bottom line. We'll continue to do that, and we can come back to you with some ideas that we've come up with. But just so you know, we've already been through that.
Okay, and a question for Tom. You said at the front that you are not projecting any increase in caseloads for next year. Is that for all programs?
As best I recall, yes.
Is that how you typically budget for?
What we typically do and what we did for 2012 is look at what the trends have been with our caseloads. If they have been rising, then we try to make a guess as to how much more and how much longer they'll rise. If they've been declining, the same. For the public assistance programs, the caseloads have been pretty much flat for the last year. Food stamp caseloads have been going up a great deal, but those benefits have no local cost associated with them. It's just the administrative cost. Medicaid caseload has been going up a great deal, but again, the local contribution to Medicaid costs is fixed. So.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I just want to say I may be looking to put money back into these two OTRs.
Pam.
Thank you.
Well, I also wanted to ask about the COPS program, and this is just indicative of what we're seeing everywhere in terms of the state reducing its funding for a program that we find essential. And the thing that worries me is that we don't have the resources to continue on all of these programs, and I don't know. I mean, clearly there's a demand. It sounds to me from what you have said and what you have written that this is something, I mean, you've put it at the top of your priorities. Right. And I guess I don't, do you see any sort of long-term, what's going to happen long-term with this? I mean, we can continue to try and support it, but I don't know, because of course we just, this from what you were just describing, talking with Martha, but I mean, stretching our resources more thinner and thinner, and how we can continue to support a program like this. I mean, is there any indication from the state where they're going on this?
There have not been any discussions about it. Of course, I think everybody's experienced that across the state in every department, they're moving towards eliminating things, shutting things down, cutting out the funding. Our concern is that if you lose a program and you shut the program down, it will never come back, or it will be very difficult to start it back. We're trying to hold on until there's a glimmer of hope that the state can increase the funding or will allow us to shift some of our money, use our money in a different way in the child welfare system. So that's why we're trying very hard to keep the programs running, because they work, and if they go away, trying to get them back in 2 years, it will be impossible.
Pat. Brian.
Do your discussions around funding and include the possibility of any kind of consolidation or sharing of resources among the various agencies, or finding ways to work with? It seems to me there must be overlap among the population of clients that are served by some of these agencies. And so I'm just wondering, in your discussions of funding, if there has been a hard look taken at the possibility of finding a different or a new way to provide these services that would help to reduce administrative costs.
I work very closely with the Human Services Coalition that has been doing a lot of work with local agencies around what you're talking about, consolidation, looking at the services that are being provided. The four COPS contracts that we're talking about are for, although they're working as child welfare preventive services, they're working with fairly specific populations that they're have developed their programs to target. There are ways that each of those agencies are able to share information and making sure that we're not duplicating, so that families aren't, being bounced around from agency to agency. So we do attempt to set in place a structure that families are receiving the specialized service from the agency that can provide that specialized service. And the Human Services Coalition is working with the not-for-profit community to understand what are the pros and cons of consolidating it either administratively or programmatically.
Nice. Follow-up. Yes, I've been told several times in different conversations that the Human Services Coalition has these discussions at times, but I'm just wondering, as a direct funder of these programs, if we, through our staff, are having these conversations. And that's really what my question was to you. And I appreciate the work that's done by the Human Services Coalition. But we're the ones that are responsible for taxpayer money. And at the same time, we want to see these services provided. And perhaps the question should not just be to you, because you wouldn't necessarily be responsible for doing this, but it seems to me that someone should be having these kinds of conversations about possibly reducing administrative costs of the many different agencies that we support, so as to save money and at the same time preserve the quality and quantity of the programs that we offer.
Brian.
I seem to recall at some point where there was a kind of a thought or a movement afloat to have the state take over Medicaid eligibility. And just in thumbing through your roster, are all the welfare examiners, are they part of that? Are they part of that number?
The Medicaid social welfare examiners are part of that number.
But they're not all of them?
Not all of them are Medicaid workers.
Okay. And that would stand for the same for senior,
right.
The supervisors?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay, because there's a total of 60.
Right.
Just in those two areas.
Right. And those would be, that's temporary assistance, food stamps, HEAP, special services, homeless services, daycare, Medicaid.
Employment.
How many of these are, I mean, I'm right that they were talking at one point about taking that over, and yep. How many of these folks would fall into that category? I'm trying to ask more than one question at the same time. And
can I email you back with the exact number?
Sure.
I have been in conversations with people at the state about the takeover, and they're still very preliminary discussions about what and if that would even happen and how that would happen.
Sure.
So I wouldn't put it on your calendar anytime soon.
My calendar's kind of full anyway.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I just have one other comment, kind of a math comment. We just heard from mental health, and it appeared as though they articulated a very concerted effort to reduce their roster from 64 to 60, I believe it was. And this has nothing directly to do with your department. However, you're going from 187, which is by far, I believe, the biggest department in the county, to 186. So that's just one. Okay. Thanks.
Leslie.
Thank you, Patricia. If you alluded to this a little bit ago, but if you have the ability to shift the different ways in which you can use child welfare dollars, because I know they come with some strict, you know, where they go, are there places in this budget that you will be able to reduce some of those programs in order to support, for example, the two, if not one, that is not being recommended for funding?
No. What I was alluding to is that there are ways that we can tap into some state funding streams that would allow us to maximize more funding from the state to help fund the programs. And we've been in talks with the agencies about doing that. We don't have any right now. We don't have any wiggle room in our child welfare funding to do that, to do what you're talking about. But we have been talking to agencies about are there ways for us to maximize some of the funding streams from the state?
Can you give me an example of what that would mean or what that would look like?
Well, we did this with our COPS program with, I think, the DAP program,
okay,
from Family and Children Services used to be a COPS program.
Right.
And what we did with them is we made that a mandated preventive, which means that we are opening the case as a child welfare case, and we are able to draw down funds from the state because now it's a child welfare case. We've been talking to some agencies about if somebody comes into their office and they're already in the child welfare system, would we be able to bill the state for that that family a different way?
Okay, thank you.
Marty had your hand up.
Yeah. To Pat on the agency consolidation and efficiencies, there's been this survey going on with that the Downtown Ithaca Alliance has been doing with agencies to look at how can they share services and possibly share spaces. And I know that they're working on that. I had a meeting yesterday with them, and Capital Plan Review will be talking about that a little bit next week. So I know that's in the air, and they're trying to do even more of what they do. And I think administrative costs over of the nonprofits in general is very, very small. They're very lean already. So, and then on and little duplication, they really do different things. So, and on Medicaid administration takeover, Brian, Patricia and I have been participating in this work group at the state level, and last summer I was part of the NYSAC commission where they, you know, where it was first presented that the state was going to take over administration, like they were going to rescue us, right? As we looked into it more carefully, what it means is, you know, a caseworker does eligibility for a lot of different programs. If suddenly that person is not doing Medicaid but everything else, then the client, I don't know, has to go to another building, has to go to an 800 number, has to go somewhere else for Medicaid. It's a whole different, you've got now created a new silo for the client. There are also very complicated formulas built in as far as state support for our buildings and our administration based on Medicaid workers. If they take away, if they sort of assume that those workers are going to become state workers, does that mean that they also reduce their support for admin and buildings? So there are many, many problems with it, and we were, the summary of the commission last summer was that we thought the takeover of administration of Medicaid by the state was actually financially a disaster for counties. And that's what has led NYSAC to say instead, take the whole funding of the program itself. The administration of Medicaid is 2% of the cost. It's the 98% that's killing us.
Any other questions? Thank you all for coming. Thank you, Patricia.
Thank you,
Tom. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
And is there a motion?
To adjourn.
To adjourn. Second.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye. What? Adjourning?
Kevin.
Yes.